You're listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to another episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks each week to help you save money and travel better. Miles to Go made a big jump in the Apple podcast rankings recently, all because of you guys downloading the show, leaving us ratings, and telling your friends. Thanks, you guys, so much. If you haven't told a friend about Miles to Go, please do. We really appreciate you guys spreading the word. And if you have a question or a suggestion for a future topic or a guest on the show, shoot me an email, ed@pizzainmotion.com, or on social media, all at Pizza in Motion, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Up this week, we've got Gary Leff of View from the Wing on with us for an extended segment talking about recent changes to many of the cards that are likely hanging out in your wallet. Virtually all of the credit cards issued by Citibank have seen some pretty big changes, and there are changes on American Express cards as well. Gary's going to help us break down those changes and tell you how to rearrange your wallet to make sure you're maximizing your spend each and every day. I also want to take a moment to thank AutoSlash for their sponsorship of the Miles to Go podcast. AutoSlash helps you find the cheapest car rental, and they help save money after you book your car rental. On top of that, they stand behind their customers, which is something that, honestly, I didn't know as deeply as I do now that they're a sponsor, because I've had a bunch of folks reach out to me and tell me that AutoSlash bailed them out of a jam when their car rental company left them hanging. Things that weren't AutoSlash's fault, but AutoSlash stood up when the car rental agency wouldn't. Start and end your car rental search with AutoSlash.com. Let's dig into our interview with Gary Leff on recent credit card changes. Back on the Miles to Go podcast, and there's been a bunch of changes recently that impact what's hanging out in your wallet. Those include most of the Citi cards that are out there, as well as some American Express key benefits that people are likely to use. And I just want to make sure people don't show up at a lounge thinking they're going to get access or have a benefit that they were using disappear from underneath them. So we've brought Gary Leff back on the show from View from the Wing, who's my go-to expert when it comes to these things, to talk about not only what the changes are, but where you might need to head if these benefits are important to you. Hey, Gary, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Ed. I wish we were talking about benefits getting better. And in some sense, we are, or at least if we're turning back the clock, it's not a whole lot. But folks should know that starting August 1, Priority Pass cards that provide airport lounge access, if you got your Priority Pass from American Express, it's only going to give you those airport lounges. It'll give you minute suites, but it's not going to give you access to airport restaurants where they were giving you $28 a person credits anymore. And it's not going to give you access to other in-airport experiences, whether whiskey tastings or game playing at DFW. Basically, this has gotten to be a very expensive benefit for credit card companies to offer. The way these things more or less are set up is that the banks are paying Priority Pass for all these visits, and so Priority Pass has gone out and figured out ways to make more visits possible, which makes all the sense in the world. Look, there's only a limited number of lounges that they have access to. There are about 1,200 worldwide, but only around 5% of the Priority Pass lounges are in the United States. But the bulk of Priority Pass customers are in the United States, and that's largely because of this huge growth from premium credit cards. And so, one of the things that happens is that these lounges become super crowded because so many people have access with their credit cards, and there's only but so much space. But another thing is that there's a lot of airports where there just aren't options, and Priority Pass is brilliant. They say, look, customers would often rather go have a meal in a restaurant than eat cheese cubes in a lounge, right? Especially if you're in an airport with free Wi-Fi, Maybe you can find a seat with power in a restaurant, and they bring you a meal that can be even better. And from an economic standpoint, Priority Pass is good. Look, they're going to pay that same roughly $25 for the entry of a person to the restaurant or to a lounge, and they're going to make more money just by having more card swipes. Well, look, American Express, which just shared in its earnings report that they have record high rewards costs. Now, some of that is because of the increased costs of their Delta co-brand. I mean, they're just paying Delta more money.
Yeah.
But their costs are up, and they're finding ways to clamp that down a bit, saying, look, we never intended to provide something other than the airport lounges with Priority Pass, and so we're not gonna pay for that. The good news is that if you get your Priority Pass from some other means than American Express, you can still get that restaurant credit. So Chase, Citibank, U.S. Bank, these Priority Pass cards will still give you the credit.
Yeah, and I think if I'm Priority Pass, I certainly understand why they tried to go down this road. As you say, the more places that the card is swiped, the better off financially. When I think about the gaming lounge at DFW or the restaurants in airports, those aren't the primary reasons why I carry cards that have Priority Pass. They're kind of nice to have. But for me, it's really when you're traveling overseas, having access to lounges that I might not otherwise have access to grab a shower on a long flight. But for a bunch of folks, these benefits have become popular. Obviously, the reason why it got expensive for American Express. And so, showing up at the airport now with your American Express card and realizing you're not going to get your dinner paid for could be a bit of a shock to the system. So as Gary says, this won't be a benefit going forward from American Express. We could see changes in some of the other cards, but there are some reasons why we probably won't see any in the immediate future as far as that's concerned. One of the comments that you brought up, Gary, when we were talking offline was U.S. Bank limits the number of visits that you can make to Priority Pass Lounge over the course of a year with their card.
Right. All the card companies are doing what they can to try to control costs, and they're just taking different stabs at it. And the reason is that there's been such a race to gain consumer spend in this premium card segment, which has been profitable. It's hugely competitive. When they're talking about airline co-brands, the costs of those deals have gone up as you've had fewer and fewer airlines that they've been able to compete. So the airlines are making more money, but they're all spending more to attract customers. And that's got to have some endpoint, because in some cases, they're spending the entire interchange or merchant swipe fee back on the customer every year. That doesn't begin to pay back the acquisition cost or sign-up bonus of the customer, let alone make money. And so they're relying on APR or interest charges. With the premium cards that have high net worth individuals with high incomes, the APR charges may be lower. And so they're finding a way to balance this and make the economics work for them. So what do we see at Citibank? They're cutting many of the ancillaries of insurance or purchase protection kinds of benefits. And their bet there is that those won't influence consumer spend or won't influence it enough to offset the cost savings. We've even seen some changes at Chase, right, where with their Priority Pass benefit, they used to offer unlimited guests, and then they scaled that back to two. We've seen instances of 19 and 36 guests being brought into a single lounge it's at the margin, but they also stopped paying out points on the travel spend that they credit back each year on Sapphire Reserve, the $300 travel credit, for instance. And they made sure that the travel credit is only once a year, and you can't double dip on it in your first year. Tried to make sure that there's some semblance of of cost reduction there. They're all taking stabs at this. It's not just American Express with high costs or with cuts, but this is one in particular that people need to know about because it changes behavior. Now, I do think that the original idea was these lounges, and I wouldn't even say that originally mostly overseas. They used to have a lot of U.S. domestic lounges.
Correct. Yeah. Years ago. Yeah.
American lounges. They had Continental lounges, Northwest lounges. What happened was as each of the airlines went through their mergers, renegotiated credit card deals, credit card companies started offering premium cards that included lounge access, and they got exclusivity with those with offering credit card based access to lounges from those airlines. Now, that was the original advent of Priority Pass Select, which then was a product that could be used by and issued by banks that didn't conflict with those exclusive airline deals that other banks had. So you got a Priority Pass Select, and it didn't include the U.S. airline lounges except for Alaska. And of course, we know that those Alaska lounges have been so crowded that even where they take Priority Pass, they often turn away those Priority Pass guests. But it used to include a lot of U.S. lounges. That landscape has changed. So a lot of the landscape has shifted. And just looking for airports that didn't have options before, where do you get options from? Well, you get options with other kinds of space and facilities that where they can spend the same amount and give something to a customer. Now, in an airport that doesn't have a lounge accessible, or in a terminal that doesn't, I think the restaurant option is great. Some restaurants are better than others, or at least less bad than others.
Yeah.
Look, Timberline Steaks in Denver, as being at the outset of the restaurant play from Priority Pass, has become one of the 100 highest grossing independent restaurants in the country, which is kind of insane. The place is bigger than you realize once you step into it, and it often has a line to get into it. But you know, free food, right?
Right.
You sort of understand that.
Yeah, for sure. And the Timberline thing is funny. I've walked by it a number of times and thought about going in, but the crowds have only grown with the advent of it being a Priority Pass restaurant. And now that that's going away, I think there's a good point to pivot to the city benefits that are going away. And you know, as you briefly mentioned, there are some of these benefits that I would consider were on the fringe, you know, things that folk didn't use very frequently. But as you dig into the meat of the list, and a good example of that might be like Price Rewind, where you could get price protection on things. I think most people didn't realize that existed. Some of us did in the blogging and travel world, but most cardholders probably didn't realize they had that sort of protection. Where I think that this gets to be something where customers probably were using it, or at least definitely should have been using it. You know, car rental insurance as a benefit is something that we've seen a lot of cards roll out now, and so car rental insurance goes away. Trip cancellation and interruption, trip delay, roadside assistance, a whole bunch of benefits that maybe folks didn't use a ton, but could have easily justified the annual fee for that city card that you're carrying in your wallet, now are all going away as of late September. With a pretty big change in the landscape in terms of what those cards offer.
Right. So September 22, and it's worth noting that if you have a charge from before September 22, you can still make a claim after that for the period of time in which you'd normally be eligible to do so. So if you purchased an airline ticket before September 22, you have trip delay coverage on that ticket under the old terms. But come September 22, we're going to see it's the rental insurance, trip cancellation, interruption, travel accident, trip delay, baggage delay, lost baggage, Price Rewind, 90-day return protection goes away, medical evacuation, missed ticket protection, roadside assistance goes away. I mean, they're basically rid of virtually all of these ancillary services that they were, which the interesting thing is that many of these things were an expense, but some of them were increasingly utilized and so increasingly expensive. So the things like price protection, it used to be that nobody really used it. If they used it, it was a one-off. Somebody noticed the price had dropped and they would submit a claim. But increasingly, there were bots and automated tools that would search for the things that you purchased, find price drops, even 1 cent price drops, and submit claims. And this became very expensive to offer. And so you see things like price protection going away from a lot of products, not just Citi. But the travel benefits are something that are then a differentiator for other Visa and MasterCard providers. Most of those benefits, by the way, are not offered, the travel benefits, with American Express cards. I often say, oh, well, of course I have trip delay coverage. I put my tickets on my American Express Platinum card. Like, well, no, you don't, because American Express doesn't offer that already. The Citi is matching Amex with some of those. But ultimately, I think what we see is a whole slate of benefits that become unsustainable once people use them. And that's a pretty bad model.
Yeah.
Now, MasterCard's been working for a while on letting, you know, the ability to pick and choose off a menu which benefits, you know, either a card provider wants to offer or an individual customer even wants to have. And, you know, a model where it's fewer benefits, but, you know, it's sustainable when people use them is probably better. In fact, the best would be, you could imagine the loyalty that would be generated if you had a credit card and you purchased a ticket and the card company knows what flight you're on. They know about the delay that you have that is going to trigger an eligible claim for trip delay. If they prompted you and said, you know, don't worry, we've got you, get your hotel, go have a meal, save your receipts, you know, coverage applies. If somebody were able to come up with that, turn it around, they probably could even succeed with lower rewards spend, maybe even, you know, less rebating on card spend, just generating tremendous loyalty by delivering really useful, timely benefits, right? Knowing about your travel, the information they already have. We talked about, you know, big data and how many people are doing AI badly, right? Very few are doing it well. Google does, to some extent Amazon does, but, you know, but if you take some of that, you know, incredible data and actually use it to help your card members, that would generate tremendous loyalty. Change the model from here's a bunch of benefits we hope no one ever uses to here's a few benefits that we actually help you use and deliver for you. I think that would be the direction that they all are going to ultimately have to go.
I think so, but it sort of depends on what else happens, because as all of these changes go away from these Citi cards and go away en masse, because there's just a whole bunch of them going away, there are other cards that do offer some of these benefits. And I'm curious, you know, from your standpoint, when you look at the benefits that are going away, if somebody is hunting for, you know, car rental protection or trip cancellation or things like that, you know, what other cards should they be looking at to substitute for a Citi card that might not offer those benefits anymore?
Well, look, at a top level, and so far, I mean, this is a huge competitive advantage for Chase, because, you know, most of your best rewards cards are coming out of Amex, Chase, and to some extent Citi. And, you know, American Express doesn't have many of the travel coverage to start with. Citi is getting rid of them, and Chase still has them. We've seen a few cutbacks over at Bank of America, but, you know, for the most part, this just means that you have a richer slate of benefits on your Chase products.
Yeah, you sure do have a richer slate of benefits on those Chase products, no question. And as it relates to Citi, I guess it's just it still is surprising to me that so many of these benefits went away at one time, in that it really does take these cards from being travel credit cards to being more just credit cards. And I think that's where Chase has really grown over the past, gosh, I mean, I guess it's probably the last 10 years or so, where not only do they have co-branded cards that people may want to carry if they're loyal to folks like United or Hyatt, but they also have the Chase Sapphire cards, the Preferred and the Reserve, and they also have the Ink cards for business travelers that really fill in a lot of these gaps when it comes to things like car rental protection and trip protection and stuff like that.
Well, you know, Chase did a deal where they effectively leased Visa's network. You know, Chase is almost exclusively issuing Visas these days. The IHG card's an exception. And, you know, they're paying a flat fee for charges through the network rather than paying on a per charge basis. And that's been a huge incentive to drive more charges and spend more to drive more charges. And that's one of the elements that has changed the landscape. And as co-brand deals have gotten more expensive, they've built their own competitor in Ultimate Rewards that they built out over the last decade. It was initially a copy of Membership Rewards in an attempt to, you know, go after high net worth individuals that sort of American Express had, but increasingly has cannibalized their own co-brand portfolios, because, you know, though it turns out that you don't necessarily need a travel brand in order to have a strong travel rewards card. Now, as far as the loss of benefits like trip delay or purchase protections, you know, the bet Citi makes, and doing them all at once rather than drip, 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 you know, you get one news cycle and they hope that people forget, and their bet is that people aren't making their decisions on, you know, what products to have or what cards to spend money on the basis of those protections. As we say, most people don't realize they have them. If they may have realized at one point they had them, they forget in the moment. And if they forget not to use their city card, right, you know, city will find that the cost savings are worthwhile. That's the ultimate question that we're going to have to see. Does this actually influence consumer behavior or not? And if they get away with it, then I imagine we're going to see cuts elsewhere. Similarly, you know, if you don't see folks getting credit for Citi or Chase continuing to offer restaurants through Priority Pass, then, you know, why should they continue to pay for it? It all comes down to whether or not consumers value these things enough to invest in being aware of the benefits and changing their behavior on the basis of whether they're there or not.
For sure. And I think that's the bottom line of why we're talking today, is to make sure that the folks that are listening who carry these cards in their wallet understand that these benefits are no longer there. And for some folks, it may not change the decision that you ultimately make. But I think it goes back to something that I said last week on the podcast, or 2 weeks ago on the podcast, where, hey, you know, we want to make sure that at all times, the stuff that's in your wallet is working for you the best way it can. So just make sure that as you look at these changes, that there aren't things on here that you might otherwise use. And if they are things that you use, that you make sure you identify a card that helps you get the most value out of the dollars that you're spending on them. Gary, thanks a bunch for being on the show with us again. Tell folks where they can track you down when you're not hopping on the podcast with me.
Well, I write at viewfromthewing.com, and you can always find me on social media at Gary Leff, GaryLeff, as in Foxtrot, F as in Foxtrot.
Thanks, Gary. Safe travels. We'll have you back on again soon. We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. This week's show is brought to you in part by AutoSlash. AutoSlash does one thing really, really well. They save you money on car rentals, and not just a little bit. They're always free to use, and there's two separate ways that they can help save you money. First off, if you start your booking process at autoslash.com, you'll enter in some key information, Costco membership, AAA, frequent flyer memberships, and they'll take all that information along with searching for any publicly available codes that you might not be aware of, and they'll find the best price for your specific car rental, which you can then go ahead and book. After you've booked, you can enter your car rental reservation into their tracking tool, and it will continue to track whether the price has gone down on your car rental or a new code becomes available that would save you more money. They'll notify you, and you'll be given the chance to rebook that reservation for less money. Even if you don't start the booking process with AutoSlash.com, if you booked it somewhere else, you could take your reservation number, key it into AutoSlash, and they will continue to track that reservation for free and let you know if the price goes down or if there's a discount code maybe you didn't know about right up until you pick the car up. Tons of different ways to save money with AutoSlash. It's 100% free, always 100% free. Give it a try and drop me an email. Let me know what you think about it. You can find them at autoslash.com. Back to wrap up this week's show with a quick final two pennies. We talked about this a few weeks ago, but Gary's interview should remind each of us to take a peek inside our wallets and see exactly what cards we're actually spending our hard-earned dollars on. You may have been using your Citi card for car rental insurance or price rewind, price protection, and now you need to find yourself a new alternative. Or maybe you were planning a trip to Hawaii, but now Europe is in your future and the points that you're earning don't quite fit that. If you're not using your points for travel, then there's likely a cash back card that's a better deal for you. So, you know, we want to make sure that we've got a good plan laid out for how we're spending and then what we're actually using those points for. Or we just as soon have a cash back card in our wallet and lock in a guaranteed return. Anyway, you look at it, a wallet checkup is a great decision once or twice a year. Just like you keep an eye on your retirement portfolio or the kids' college savings account, let's make sure your points and miles get a little bit of love. That's a full wrap on this week's show. Again, big thanks to AutoSlash. Thanks to Gary for stopping by and giving his time to help break down these recent credit card changes. And as always, thanks to producer Mike. We've still got firsthand breakdowns of top-tier elite status coming from road warriors around the country, along with a great new way to organize the credit cards in your wallet. If you've listened this far, I have to believe you like what you're listening to. If that's the case, hey, please tell a friend and make sure you subscribe to get our episodes downloaded each and every week as soon as they're released. Until we upload again, we've got miles to go.